Now, pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, give me the thoughts, the words you would have me to speak. And give us the words you would have us to hear. And in this hour, give us the faith and the wisdom we need, so desperately need, to sustain us, to both comfort and challenge us for the living of these days. And in your precious Son's name, we pray, he who was born for us, who died for us, and who arose before us, and who lives within us, even now. Amen. I love that sound. I love it. That's just like another hymn being sung right there. The angels are loving that song. And I see you over there, Meadow, so quiet. That's my buddy. I haven't seen her in weeks and weeks and weeks. I missed you. She's so quiet over there. Great. You for once, right? So she doesn't have room to move around like she usually does, right? Good to see you again, Heather. Journey to Jesus. Yes. Journey. We're talking about journeys tonight, folks, like some of you all took, right? Many of us are taking journeys near and far during this Christmas week, aren't we? You know, AAA and TSA say millions of Americans are traveling this week by planes and trains and automobiles, maybe even cruise ships. I don't know. You never take a Christmas cruise. Anybody take a Christmas cruise? Yeah. Well, we're not traveling by spaceships yet, but give us a few years and we may be doing that too, right? Yeah. And we all journeyed tonight to get here to Winslow United Methodist Church for this very special service. And I am so grateful to all of you for coming. How many of you came from out of town to get here this week? Anybody come from out of town? Everybody's local? Really? Okay. All right. Great. All right. Zara came from out of town. All right. All right. One or two. All right. California. Wow. Okay. Man, left all that sunny, dry weather out there. Wow. Well, welcome. Great. Glad you got here. Hope you're going to stay for a while. It's a long trip. All right. Good. Good. Yeah. Who thinks they might have, well, I was about to, my next question is who thinks they might have traveled the farthest? But that would probably be you, right? Yeah. Well, truth be told, from what I understand, when Santa Claus gets here later tonight and starts landing on your rooftops and sliding down your chimneys, he may be the one who traveled the farthest, right? All the way from the North Pole, don't you think? Yeah? Yeah, that's what I think. Well, over 2,000 years ago, there were lots of people traveling on this night, long before it would become a very special night. Thousands of Jews and non-Jews were traveling back to their hometowns, but not voluntarily and not to enjoy sentimental family reunions. No, they were returning home because they had to. Emperor Caesar Augustus had decreed that a census must be taken of the entire Roman Empire. That's so he could collect more taxes, that's why. And everyone had to return to their hometowns to be counted for that census. Can anyone tell me, I mean, you all been listening, you heard the youth, you've been listening to the scripture. Can anyone tell me who in our Christmas Eve story was traveling that night to the little town of Bethlehem that we just sang about? Can anybody say who was traveling that night? Yeah, Bob. See, Bob, you jumped ahead two paragraphs. Always, is he always ahead of his time? Well, who were the first people who were traveling that made this night important, huh? Mary and Joseph. Thank you so much. Mary and Joseph. And who else? Besides the wise men, because they come third. Who else? Yeah, shepherds, right, shepherds. They were resting with their grazing sheep in the quiet fields just outside of town, probably bored and half asleep like some of you. No, I'm just kidding. And when an angel suddenly appeared to them, and then more angels showed up in the night sky and illuminated it with their heavenly radiance, they filled the sky and earth below with the mellifluous sound. I actually got that word out. Mellifluous sound of 1,000 angelic voices proclaiming glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace and goodwill, that's the word we're used to hearing, right? Goodwill to all whom God favors. So that means the angels also had to travel, right? To get to Bethlehem, didn't they? To announce the Savior's birth to those sleepy shepherds in the fields, right? They had to fly from heaven's realm far beyond our universe and then soar across our darkened starlit skies. They had to, they came to send the shepherds to Bethlehem to welcome this newborn king, to see him for themselves, and then to go out and tell everybody everywhere. What's that popular song we like, spiritual? It is what we like to sing on Christmas Day. In fact, I've always been told when I was growing up, you can't sing this song until Christmas Day. Don't sing it during Advent. It only gets sung on Christmas Day.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. I'm glad somebody was able to sing it in tune. It was in tune in my car when I practiced it. Yeah. Okay, so was there anyone else who had to make that journey to meet Jesus in Bethlehem? All right, Bob, it's your turn. Three. Yeah, three wise men known as the Magi, traveling from the east, led by a brilliant star in the sky. And they also were coming to see this miraculous birth, this holy infant whom they had heard would become the king of the Jews. So they were coming to Bethlehem too. But now, they would take a lot longer to arrive. I don't know if you all know that, but maybe up to 2 years, really, after Jesus' birth. They had to come a long way, and they went through Judah to talk to Herod to see what he could tell them. Yeah, so they didn't really get there 12 days after Jesus' birth like some of us think they did, and ride up to the manger bearing their three precious gifts. We like to use that precious image in our crushes and everything, but Bible scholars say Jesus might have been almost 2 years old and living with his parents in the house when the Magi finally arrived after a very long journey. But is there something I said? I don't want to disappoint anybody. But hey, when you're journeying to meet Jesus, Lisa, right? When you're journeying to meet Jesus, you're never, ever, ever too late to arrive. Isn't that right, Patty? Never too late to meet Jesus. When it comes to meeting Jesus, to worshiping him and following him, when you're bringing your gift, the gift of yourself, to him so that he can give his gift of himself and his promise of eternal life to you, well, I guarantee you, without a doubt, there's no such thing as being too late. Amen? Any encounter you have with Jesus is always right on time. Whenever it happens, as long as it happens, in your heart. Amen? Oh, I like this group. I'm getting amens today, tonight, Craig. We might be here an hour now. I'm getting y'all talking back to me. Yeah. Y'all helping me preach this tonight. Yeah. All right, so we got Mary and Joseph. We got the angels from heaven. Anybody keep a score? We got the shepherds. And Bob, who else we got?
Three wise men.
A Magi from the east. Anyone else? Anyone else? Oh, wait, am I missing anybody? Oh, hey, who said that? Yes, no, Jesus. We had the angels, Jesus himself. Yeah, I didn't know anybody would get that. Yeah, he too had the journey that night. Yeah, it was his party, right? He too had the journey that night to that small animal manger behind the crowded inn in Bethlehem. And he definitely, not Santa Claus, but Jesus definitely made the longest journey of the night to get there. A journey all the way from God's bosom to Mary's bosom. John's gospel describes Jesus as being in the bosom of his father. That phrase signifies the ultimate intimacy and oneness they had with one another. A beloved son and father being, we like to say, closer than close. You can't get any closer than close, right? I got that out. Yeah, so now folks, give me a moment, Nadine, you saw my email and everything. I've been taking some online seminary courses at Duke Divinity School this year. Yeah, and the church is going to help me pay for those, I think. So I've been reading so many books and writing papers. Oh my God. Oh, this school was a long time ago, man. So I just got to use some of this theological knowledge that they're teaching me. I mean, I can't let it go to waste, right? So you all are going to be my victims because I'm going to have to throw just a little bit of what they call incarnational theology at you, okay? Incarnational, like birth, that's what it means. Incarnational theology. This guy over here looks like he used to be a professor. Hopefully not a theology professor. Okay. Incarnational theology. For those who want to better understand this birth of a Messiah who was both human and divine. Yeah, figure that one out, right? So we believe that Jesus, as part of the Holy Trinity, is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Thus, he was not created by God. Now, this is very important. And in fact, the Council of Nicaea back 1700 years ago met for like weeks to work this out, this theology out, and spread it out across the Christian world so people would get it right and not get it twisted. Jesus was not created by God as human beings are created by God, because you can't be created by your creator, right? So he was not created by God. Instead, We say, and it was in him. The word was in him, and it's in our Apostles' Creed. We say he was begotten. Everybody know that word, begotten? Yeah, you heard it before, right? It's in the Apostles' Creed. It was in the hymn we just sang. He was begotten, which means he emerged from the essence of God's being. So he wasn't created. He just emerged, was drawn from the essence of God's being. Yeah, he emerged from God's awesome, loving heart or bosom. And then through Mary and the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, he was born into our world to bring us God's precious gift of sacred wisdom and salvation. A gift with the power to deliver us from sin, a gift to guide us from life to death, and then to life anew. Amen? Make sense? That sound good? Life anew. Yes, yes, yes. So on Christmas Eve, we celebrate the life-changing journey made by earthly beings, poor shepherds and rich, wealthy magi, and even by heavenly beings, those angels. All of them made that important journey to that little town of Bethlehem. Nobody knew anything about it. It was a backwater town. It was the most insignificant town you could ever imagine. Not a town you would give a birth to a king in, but that was the prophecy. Little town of Bethlehem to welcome and proclaim the newborn Jesus as both our Savior and our King. And Jesus himself also journeyed to Bethlehem all the way from God's heavenly bosom to that divinely appointed place and time for his humble but historic entrance into our fallen world. Yes, that first Christmas Eve was quite a night of important, blessed journeys, like the journeys we all took to get here, right? Journeys on heaven, on earth, and in heaven. But Jesus had more journeying to do ahead of him. Yeah, even as a child. King Herod's army was also on the move to find him soon after his birth. That evil ruler of Judea feared that this blessed infant, whom some were already calling the Messiah and the future king of the Jews, well, Herod feared that one day he might challenge his own royal power. So Herod sent his soldiers to slaughter all the children in Bethlehem who were 2 years age or younger. That's how biblical scholars know that Jesus probably was close to 2 years old, because that Herod told his soldiers, look for kids, because he didn't know what Jesus looked like, look for kids who are 2 years old or younger, and kill them. And they did. They called it, in fact, it was a terrible event in Christian history. Not a lot of people know about it. It's called the slaughter of the infants. Innocence. The slaughter of the innocents. Yeah, it's a terrible thing. But anyhow, that's what Herod did. However, an angel told Mary and Joseph to take their child and escape to safety in Egypt, where they could live as refugees for some years, until King Herod finally died. And then, of course, several decades later, when Jesus was about age 30, he would begin yet another long journey, but this time visiting towns and villages throughout the region of Galilee, in Judea, and in Samaria, teaching and preaching, performing miracles, wonderful miracles, and attracting devoted followers, countless devoted followers. And finally, he would journey back to Jerusalem after about 3 years, where he would end his life's journey and his ministry, and then be arrested and tried, convicted, and brutally crucified and buried, only to be miraculously resurrected in victory over sin and death 3 days later on what we celebrate as what? Easter morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Got some smart people here. What a journey for Jesus, huh? What a journey from heaven to earth, back to heaven. I think there's a song about that. Days of Elijah or something. A song about that. From heaven to earth and back to heaven. Now, friends, you notice the title of this message is Journey to Jesus, right? Everybody was taking journeys. As we call all the people who journeyed from near and far to get to Jesus just on Christmas Eve to find him and to celebrate and spread the good news about his birth. But perhaps the most important journeys are not the ones that others took to get to Jesus. No, Flo, maybe, just maybe, the most important journey is the one that Jesus took and still takes today to get to us. What do you think? Maybe? Huh? When Jesus began the most crucial part of his life ministry, decades after his birth, he was trying to get to all the hungry and hurting and hopeless Jews and Samaritans and even Gentiles he could find to enlighten them and inspire them with his life-changing message, to feed them and heal them from their many sicknesses and disabilities, and in some cases, to miraculously bring some back to life who died, like his friend Lazarus. He was doing all of this. Jesus' journey back then was to get to them as many people as he could reach in order to transform their lives and to show them the sacred sacrificial path that leads unfailingly to salvation and to paradise. But now, today, Jesus is trying to get to us. Yeah. That's right. Our risen Christ is journeying each day, even coming here tonight. He's here tonight to get to us. Not so much us trying to get to him. He's trying to get to us. Not by coming down our chimneys or through our windows or front doors like Santa Claus. No. Jesus is trying to get to us through the most protected, hardest to open, toughest to enter door there is. Anybody know what the hardest to enter, most protected, toughest door there is? I mean, it is a door that's as secure as Fort Knox. The door to our hearts. Yeah, that's a tough door to enter, isn't it? Yeah, some folks, you just can't get in there, right? Hearts that may be hungry for love, or hearts that may be hurting from heartbreak, or hearts that may be feel hopeless after too many disappointments in life, right? Y'all know anybody like that? With hearts like that? Anybody? On the first Christmas Eve, everyone was journeying to get to Jesus. But on this Christmas Eve, Jesus is journeying to get to us, to get into our heart, to enter minds and hearts so that he can offer each of us the precious keys to his kingdom. He wants to offer us his GPS. Yeah. That's God's positioning system, right? God's positioning system. So that we can stay on course and headed in the right direction as we journey up the King's Highway. You know about that, don't you, Patty? The King's Highway? I know you do, because that's from way back. King's Highway to our desired divine destination, which is where? Where's that, Patty? Where's the King Highway take us? Straight to heaven, to God's heavenly kingdom. Hallelujah. That's my desired final destination. I sure hope it's yours too. Is it? Amen. Yeah. Friends, Jesus made the longest, most important journey of all on that miraculous night of his birth. He came all the way from his celestial palace in God's glorious heavenly kingdom. Indeed, he came all the way from his Father's loving bosom, right down here to earth, to be born in a stable surrounded by farm animals and placed in a feeding trough, right? Because there was no room for him in the inn. He was greeted by poor shepherds, worshipped by royal magi, and then hunted by the murderous soldiers of a jealous, despotic king. Oh, everybody was trying to get to Jesus. But on this night, he is making a journey no less important than his. A journey to get his wondrous love. Oh my goodness, you could preach a whole sermon on Jesus' wondrous love, can't you? Get his wondrous love into our waiting hearts. Amen. Anybody's hearts waiting for Jesus' love? Yeah. Don't be like the owner of that crowded inn, folks. Make room for Jesus in your crowded hearts, okay? Please, let him in. I'm asking each of you, I'm asking each of us to move all that other stuff out of the way, the people and possessions we don't really need in our lives anyway, who are giving us trouble, taking up all the room in the space in our minds and our hearts. Move all that stuff out of the way and make room to receive Jesus in our hearts so that he can be born again inside of us. Hallelujah. Yes, let us open our hearts to receive him and all that he has to offer us tonight in this Christmas season and in the new year to come. Amen? I'm almost finished. I know you wish I wasn't, but I am. Jesus says in Revelation 3rd chapter, 20th verse, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens their door, I will come in to them and will dine with them and they with me." Folks, he is making that journey to reach us tonight, you and me, all of us, to knock on our doors, the doors of our hearts, so that he can come comfort us and commune with us and live in us and offer all of us the marvelous, life-changing gifts that we celebrate. We've been celebrating all month during Advent, the gift of hope when we are anxious. The gift of peace whenever we're angry. Y'all don't get angry, right? We need peace when we get angry, don't we? Yeah, in the sermon I preached on peace, I said, you want peace, you got to be committed to peace. Because it's hard to get sometimes. Hard to keep, hard to restore. Yeah, peace when we're angry. Joy when we feel sad or troubled. You've got to have courage to want joy, to have joy. Willing to do whatever it takes to keep the joy in your life and not let anyone snatch it from you. Joy when we feel sad or troubled. And finally, love when we feel lonely or unloved. Amen? Jesus has made a long journey to get us here, to get here, folks, dear friends. And now he is standing and knocking at the door of our hearts. He's leaning in and listening. See if anyone's behind the door. And he's whispering his sweet invitation to us. So let's make room and invite him in. Let's welcome him in and let him transform our troubled minds and give purpose and strength to our tired, tormented hearts. Let him turn our heavy burdens into his heavenly blessings. Amen? And then turn our losses off. It's been a long year, Craig. So many losses. Turn our losses into miraculous victories. Amen? Amen. Thank you so much for listening and putting up with me. Let us now, how about a pause? That's while I draw a breath. Let's have our offering. How about that? Are we taking an offering tonight?
Yes.
Okay.